here we go. Welcome to the NCAA tournament.
Everyone in this tournament is a champion. Now we have to find out where we stand.
Work so good together.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star, and all the years.
Are we good, Dan? I can't hear any programming, so I wasn't really sure. All right, welcome back. There we go. There it is. Oh, I missed out on one shiny moment? Did I really?
Third version.
Okay, all right. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Kalen, Rhino Key in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino in the radio bunker. Join us on the horn right now in the Meyer Supercenter guest line. Our good friend, assistant coach of the Ohio University Bobcats. They made it to the big dance. Kyle Barlow, Coach Barlow, my friend. First and foremost, good morning to you, partner. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. How you doing? The ball is tipped, man. It gives me chills every time I hear it now.
It's sad. It's all over, man. It was a late one last night, too. My goodness, 9:20 tip-off. Coach Barlow, man, we cap off the regular season in the NCAA tournament. We crown a champion in Baylor. Gonzaga had the opportunity to go wire-to-wire, completely undefeated. They don't. They go 31-1. When you saw this Baylor team come out of the gates and just jump on Gonzaga, did you feel like Gonzaga was going to make a run at some point? Because I kept feeling like, okay, like you got to turn it on at some point, and Baylor would never let them do it.
Absolutely. I definitely thought a run was coming. And as Jim Nance would say, the whole NCAA tournament 2021, one for the ages, especially for the Bobcats, a little selfish plug there. But, yeah, I thought it was coming, you know, The tone was set in the first 5 minutes of that game, and Baylor set the tone and said, this is how this game is going to be played. They set the rules of the game. This is how this game is going to be played. And it was I wouldn't say entertaining, but it was fun to watch. And, you know, you're happy for Baylor, you know, a team that well-documented the story of, you know, 2003, where they were then and where they are now is unreal, and sticking with, you know, Scott Drew. I mean, who's a coach for 18 years anymore at the same school? I mean, the list is short, Bellino.
It very rarely happens, but it's got to be a team that can have some success, right? Uh-oh. Breaking news.
This is not breaking news. I'm hoping to break news. This is Ryan.
Oh, yes. Tell us more.
Kyle, there's a new job opening in the MAC at CMU. I want to know if the Chippewas have reached out to the Kyle Barlow.
I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of this stuff is done with agents. You can talk to Drew Rosenhaus. Not saying he's my agent, but you can just talk to him. We've tried. You feel bad for a guy like Keno Davis who does it, you know, does things the right way. Good coach, great guy and all that stuff. And, you know, that's the unfortunate part of this business sometimes, right? And, you know, there's if you look, the longest tenured coach in the MAC is now in Michigan, is now Western Michigan. So, you know, some changes going on this year in the Michigan Mid-American schools.
Man, I tell you what, hey, Coach Barlow, by the way, right now, are you live from Augusta? I hear the birds chirping in the background.
Piped in. It's piped in. I was seeing which one of your listeners was going to email in and say that bird is not indigenous to Athens, Ohio. So I was waiting. Mm. So you let me know. That could be the Easter egg hunt for this week.
There you go. 86-70 is the final score. And Coach Barlow, you had mentioned that Baylor set the tone. I was shocked at how aggressive Baylor was in the way that they attacked the glass. And Gonzaga had not seen that type of dog in the fight yet. They just hadn't. Evan Mobley has great size at USC. But he and his brother are not the same caliber from an intensity standpoint is what Baylor was bringing in the front court. And they were out there to rebound the basketball. They were going hard in at the glass. And I think that the overall effort from rebounding there, when you give up 16 offensive rebounds, it just means your big guys are getting worked inside. And so another team has more desire for that basketball.
I think that's a good word. You know, not I mean, it's, well, maybe that's not a great word because it's a national championship. I think you have the desire. I think just Baylor, man, they gave them multiple efforts the entire day. They were the most physical team, and they, like I said, they set that tone from the beginning. I got a question for you. I was kind of thinking during the game, asking myself, and you know, do you think this is a product of a just a close barn burner game on a Saturday night, a highly emotional banked in and half quarter Jalen Suggs? Like, do you think that had any bearing on the game in Gonzaga? Because it looked like Baylor was fresh. They were focused, and Gonzaga, you know, to play one of the best tournament games in NCAA history, and then to have a quick turnaround like that, do you think that plays into it at all?
You know, I was wondering, like, were they emotionally spent for that game? Was it going to be, I mean, it's the national title, so you don't think that you're going to have to worry about trying to get up, but was the moment too big for Gonzaga when they knew that, hey, we're so close, we have 40 minutes to go until a perfect season, and you've just given everything you just gave Saturday night in that game against UCLA, which was a classic. I mean, where I was at, the bar just erupted. People were going crazy, every bucket. Like, it was a really fun experience just to be around people outside of my own basement, which was great. But I don't know. Does it play a role? Do you think that, you know, it played a role for Gonzaga just emotionally, just trying to get charged up? I mean, but it's the national title, like you said. Like, yeah, you know, you have the chance to do it and be perfect and do it. It's just really hard to do.
Yeah, and it is really hard to do. And you look at, you know, even especially you look at it, you know, Baylor was the first game too, so they have the chance to, and it was a blowout against Houston, so, you know, they kind of had the chance to focus in and lock in, where I'm sure Gonzaga guys didn't even sleep a whole Saturday night. I know the coaching staff didn't, but the guys maybe not too, and the Suggs getting all the media. I don't know, man. I think it's an interesting aspect. But, you know, we had players over for the game last night, and, you know, our point guard even said, I asked that question. He goes, no, man, national championship. You can't, throw everything out the window. There's not, you shouldn't have to get motivated for this game. You shouldn't have to be focused for this game. Like, all that should happen on your own. And I somewhat agree with him there, but dang, it's hard not to wonder if that played a factor in it.
It really is. And the fact that, like you said, they played the later game on Saturday, a much easier game for Baylor against Houston as they handled business early. And this game got up to as many as 19 points about three quarters of the way through that first half. And I wasn't sure. I was like, if Gonzaga can get this thing down to 10 or 12 at halftime, you give yourself a fighting chance, but you have to be able to get stops. And Baylor's defense did, it just felt like they did enough. Like, they were active. They were all over the place. They were scrambling for loose balls, diving all over the floor. You know, for Gonzaga, they never felt like they could get over the hump. Like, they trimmed that lead to, they got it down to 9. And as Ryan said earlier, in a blink of an eye, it was right back to 16. It was like, well, I mean, you can get the lead down to 9, but if you're not going to get consecutive stops, and don't press on offense, you have to take what's kind of there, right? You can't, like, you're not going to win it all back. You're not going to get a 13-point basket. So just stay within yourselves. And I never thought that Gonzaga ever got their feet under them. It's like they got punched and rocked in the first round and went the rest of the fight without ever being able to establish themselves.
Well, as, you know, Mike Tyson says, right, everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the mouth. And that certainly happened last night. Until Gonzaga threw in the Anthony Bellino, CYO, Catholic League Coach of the Year, 8th grade team, 2-3 zone, mixing it up, brought it back. We cut it to 10.5, and you said, okay, here we go. They're going to come out with new energy in the second half, and, you know, Gonzaga's going to come back. But, you know, and you just kept saying, or like you keep saying, it just was, you know, an absolute clinic put on by Baylor. There was all gas, no brakes, didn't let up. And Gonzaga, you know, I don't know if they pressed. It's certainly at the end of the game, offensively, of course. I mean, I know they pressed on defense in the full court, but, you know, that's kind of the way they play. They get the ball up and they try and score in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. And, you know, you saw it against UCLA really trying to slow the game, and Baylor really trying to slow the game. But Gonzaga really just tried to get it up there and do what they always did. But the difference was, you're doing it, you know, against one of the most elite defensive teams in the country. And the results turned out, you know, a lot different from Gonzaga this time, but nothing to take away from them. Really heck of a year, a fine year, you know, joins the list of, you know, teams to make it to the Final Four unbeaten. I think there's only the third team to make it to the final game undefeated and lose, if I'm not mistaken. Indiana State, I think I saw in there with obviously Bird and Magic. So a lot of history there, and overall great season and fun to watch Gonzaga team.
Yeah, when we look at this Gonzaga team, and it is I saw the stat out there that they are, I think, 1-12 against the top three seeds in the NCAA tournament since like 2000 or 2001 or something like that. Anthony Wright had put that stat out there on Twitter, and he said that this was
well,
the kind
has
of game.
To be true, if Ant Wright put it out there, it's got to be true.
I mean, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. That guy's like in a hoops encyclopedia. But he had made mention about this is the kind of game that Gonzaga needed to see in January or February. Like, they needed to get rocked and have a character-building game, but they don't see that when they play, I believe he said, quote, University of Phoenix, which I giggled at a little bit. Now, I don't want to condemn Gonzaga because they had a good non-conference, a good non-conference schedule early on, but I don't know what to make of it and how much stock do we really put into the fact that yeah, sure, they waltzed through the West Coast Conference, and it is what it is. And their tournament matchups really all favored them. They didn't face a team that had the same kind of style or the same kind of fight that Baylor did. So, do you think that West Coast Conference? Do you think that hurt them a little bit not having that team to kind of rattle their cage? Midway through the season.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And if you really dive into it. They played probably one of the best schedules in the country and definitely in non-conference wise. But, in the West Coast Conference, you got BYU and St. Mary's as well. So it's not like it's just a purely low major league like some people will lead on to it being. So I don't think so, man. I really don't. I think you got to look at every game individually in itself. And, Gonzaga did play really well in the NCAA tournament up until that point. Played some very good games, blew out some teams and, I just think Baylor was the better team, probably definitely on the night, but probably overall, man. I think Baylor's the best team in the country, and it may sound weird for me saying that, though of course they just won the NCAA tournament, but it's not always the best team in the country does not always win the NCAA tournament. In fact, I think it's more rare that they win it than not.
I mean, I'm gonna jump in here. You could even throw in the fact that without a COVID pause, Baylor could be sitting here undefeated into the championship game.
No doubt. And that's a great point because, they hit the point where they played similar to what we did and similar to a lot of teams in the country where you play that 3 games in 5 days or, 3 games in 6 days, whatever it was coming off the COVID pause to get your games in. And that's when they hit their wall. It wasn't the first game back, just like we saw with Michigan too. It's that second or third game back that really is affects you. And that's what we've seen around the country is, it's easy to get up for that first one or two, but the conditioning and everything that goes into playing that third game in 5 days, which is what Baylor saw. And remember everybody panicking too? Oh, what's wrong with Baylor? What's wrong with Baylor? It's like, nothing's wrong with them. They came off a shutdown and they had to play 3 games in 6 days.
It's exactly like, I think that when you bring up conditioning, Coach, I think that that's something that a lot of people undervalue. They think, well, it's basketball, like you got to be in condition, but there's a different pace that is played at a different speed and a different level of intensity that you can't replicate in practice that you do when you're playing an opponent that, and you look at this Baylor team that only had 2 losses going in. They were ranked number 2 in the country of basically for most of the season. Like, they were a really good team, and you raise a good point. They probably were the best team in basketball, and it proved so last night in the national championship game when they win by 16 points. We were talking a little bit about this earlier off air. Last night's game, good game, entertaining game. Like, don't really – just because something's a close game doesn't make it a good game. Like, we go back to Michigan, UCLA, like, I want to run my head into the wall. I'm sure I'm not the only fan that wants to do that either. But that was painful to watch. This was a blowout, and it wasn't as intriguing, wasn't maybe as exciting as Saturday night's Gonzaga OT winner against UCLA. But at the same time, like, it was still entertaining, right?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, especially with the – I think we got spoiled, Gonzaga versus UCLA. And that's the lasting image of Saturday. And then we're going into Monday last night thinking, okay, 2 best teams in the country, here we go. Like, this is going to be another ride, man. This is one that's been anticipated now for 2 years. Even Scott Drew was saying it, last year was Baylor and Gonzaga as well. And how rare is that, 2 years in a row? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were scheduled to play in maybe Indianapolis in November, and then
yes,
one of the teams. Okay. So, just a really highly anticipated game for everybody. And, how rare is it now, too? You see Baylor, you look across their starting lineup and the guys who play, and they're a deep team, but a lot of seniors, right? a lot of seniors on that team. And how rare is that now in college basketball, where the majority of your team is juniors and seniors to win the national championship? You know, because you think about the Dukes, the Kentuckys, and even the Michigan States of the world, whoever, you know, have a lot of freshman leadership on most of their teams now. So just the overall dominating performance by a mature team.
You know, and I think that you raise a really good point there with upperclassmen being a makeup of teams like this. And I think that's something that you need to have. I think you have to have upperclassmen in order to make a run like this or sustained runs like this. And I know that we make a big deal out of the G League route. We make a big deal out of the one and dones and the super five-star prospects. A lot of people want to know what will Hunter Dickinson do from Michigan? Will there be an opportunity? Will he kind of explore the professional route or what have you? Or the incoming class that they have coming into Ann Arbor, how many of those guys will stay? Same thing can be said at East Lansing. Like, how many guys that Tom Izzo's recruiting right now will stay for a couple of years? But there is a benefit to staying multiple years and playing college basketball and developing at the collegiate level.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's what you saw last night. And I think it's going to be more rare and rare that you see that, especially in the Final Four in the national championship. Or is it? Or are you going to see the teams that kind of stick together and maybe aren't great as this freshman and sophomore classes develop, and then they get to be juniors and seniors, and now they run the league and they run the NCAA tournament because they're playing against all freshmen? It's a weird basketball. It is in a very interesting place right now with both over 1,200 kids in the transfer portal. You know, I just think that overall, it's a good thing. You know, student athletes need choice, and they have it in other sports. So why not football and men's basketball as well? It's just, I feel like right now it feels like it's a little chaotic and frankly out of control. So it'd be interesting to see. And I think that the transfer portal is going to dictate a lot of this as we see in the future. Because you look at a team like Arkansas, you know, they're just going to take the transfer route every year, and they're going to stock up on juniors and seniors. Albeit from other schools. And if you look at Baylor, yeah, I know they have transfers. For the majority of the part, though, that team's been playing, that core's been together for now 3 years or 2.5 years. So it's an interesting point. College basketball is at a very interesting spot. There's a lot of ways to do it. You see the one-and-done model kind of falling after Coach Cal made that an avenue of success, and then Duke followed that same pattern as well, and a couple other schools. And now you see the playing field level a little bit. And, you know, you can't just go the one-and-done model. You know, you look at Michigan, who is probably the top four team in the country when it's all said and done, definitely was all year rankings-wise. And they did mix in, you know, the superstar freshman and Hunter Dickinson with the Isaiah Livers, Eli Brooks, guys like that. You know, Michigan State successful teams, when they go to the Final Four, it kind of looks like the same map. So, you know, it's just a very interesting, I think college basketball is in an interesting spot right now, but just glad to watch the NCAA tournament. Glad that it's going to be Masters Week, man. Like, we have a lot to be thankful for, especially after last year. We're sitting here talking about the Jordan documentary as the only news in sports.
Yeah, no, 100% correct, and just amazing that they were able to pull this off after all the people that said that there was no way college sports would be able to be played, they're never going to be able to do this. We got through the entire season. Sure, everybody had their own ups and downs throughout and their own pauses throughout, but we did it, man. We made it. I say we like I had something to do with it, but, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
You did, Bellino. You did, hey. Bellino. Don't sell yourself short, Bellino. I'm a tremendous slouch. Man.
Of a tremendous slouch. But it is. It's something that we can all very much be grateful for. He is the coach, Kyle Barlow, Ohio University assistant men's basketball coach. Talk to his agent about any future jobs that might be open in the MAC. Just saying, is that frowned upon, by the way, to take another job in conference?
Any MAC crime going on?
Yeah, when you say frowned upon, I think of a certain Hangover quote that I probably can't say on the air. But yeah, we'll leave it at that.
All right, Coach Barlow, as always, my man, thank you so much for the time today. We greatly appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
Yep. There he goes. For Dan and Ryan, I'm Anthony. So long. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on the Michigan Sports Network.